far. I will call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Derry Township Board of Supervisors scheduled for February 22nd, 2022. The meeting is scheduled to begin at 7 p.m. This board met an executive session at 5 p.m. and that executive session concluded at about 5:35 p.m. and we discussed legal matters during that executive session. Since that time, as many of you know, we've had two different public hearings, and we are now ready to call this meeting to order. And I ask everyone in the room to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kristen, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are five present.
Thank you, Mr. Kristen. Seeing as all members of the board are present, we have a quorum. We will begin with our normal housekeeping announcements, then roll into visitor or public comment session, followed by the agenda item. So, first and foremost, although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. There will be, as usual, two visitor or public comment sessions. So one shortly, and then one at the meeting. We ask if you wish to offer a comment into the record, you come up to the podium. When we open the floor for visitor public comment, and that you identify yourself, first name and last name, and your address. So that information stays in the public record, and it's and we associate the comments that are made with the people making the comments. We also ask that people try to limit their comments to about 3 minutes. It's not a hard and fast rule, but generally speaking, if you're getting up to about 3 minutes and you're not summarizing your point, I would just gently nudge you to kind of wrap up. We do that so that as many people that would like to speak can speak during public comment, and yet we can still get to the business items on the agenda for the meeting. So, with that, we'll open up the floor for the first visitor public comment session. And so anyone wishing to address the board and place their comments into the record, this is the time. Simply come forward.
Good evening. My name is John Wilburn. I live at 370 Harvey Road. I'm here like you all to make sure our neighbors are served with great leadership. From time to time, there are issues that arise requiring tough decisions. As I have recently learned, the property at 174 Lamppost Lane was purchased by TJD Family LLC, located at 324 Elm Avenue. I hope that this property will remain as it is, but I assume that will not be the case. My concern is the installation of townhomes that would be rental properties. A high-density living situation means that all the properties bordering this lot will lose a significant amount of value. I understand that we are located in the HMU zone, and it is not my business to tell another American that they can't do something they have the legal authority to do. But as a community, we are encouraged to communicate what is important to us. Derry Township has plenty of potential for future building in the West End project. To shoehorn multiple rental properties in our quiet single-family home neighborhood would be absurd. I ask the supervisors ensure the investments that have been made in our homes are protected, that all the laws concerning to ordinance 2021-04 are investigated and enforced. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, everybody. My name is Amy Bai. I'm at 171 Lamppost Lane. We, the residents of Chad's Ford and surrounding area, are here tonight to oppose the planned development of 176 Lamppost Lane. We understand that no plans have been submitted at this time. However, we want to have it known that we oppose the building of rental units and duplexes. The entire area is single-family homes. We want the aesthetic of our neighborhood to remain single-family homes. It is our belief that rental units will devalue our homes, cause more traffic, cause concerns for our children's safety, and add problems to an already busy cut-through to Hershey Medical Center. The township's conditional use and special exception by law states, quote, that use will not overburden existing public services, including water, sanitary, sewer, public roads, storm drainage, or other public improvements, end quote. The property at 176 Lamppost and Church is in the 100-year flood plan with a creek bordering the entire one side. So we would appreciate you, as the board, take our concerns into consideration. As stated in your own specific criteria for conditional uses, it is written Township Board of Supervisors shall have final jurisdiction for the approval of denial of the conditional use. When plans are submitted, please keep our neighborhood single-family homes for our families and children and no rental duplexes. And earlier in the public hearing, noticing that you changed zoning, so hopefully maybe you can change the zoning of 176. Thanks.
Thank you for your anyone else?
Hello, my name is Paula Weinstein. I live at 443 Beach Avenue in Hershey. And I'm not even sure if I'm at the right place, but my husband is physically handicapped and is a veteran, spent 2 years in Vietnam, 4 years in reserve, 29 years in National Guard. He's a retired command sergeant major, and he has a spinal cord injury. And the VA has graciously agreed to get him a motorized scooter. The problem being, there are no curb cuts on our side of the road. So how is he going to get off the curb? So if you could explain to me, or somebody could explain, like, how do you decide what blocks get curb cuts and what blocks don't, or if we could please have them. So I appreciate any help. Thank you.
You're welcome. We can definitely explain that. I don't know if it's Tom or Chuck, but
do you have a sidewalk there on Beach Avenue?
Do we have a sidewalk? Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wasn't aware that there was a sidewalk on Beach Avenue. I'm talking about
the Beach Avenue that's on your Catholic Church, not the
Beach. Beach
Avenue.
Beach. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
He isn't
Beach. As we pave streets, we install them. If you leave your name and phone number, I'll find out exactly where we're talking about and see what we need to do.
I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Can I just add to that? Are you looking for a curb cut from the front of your house out into the street or at the ends of the...
At the ends. Like, he can get onto the sidewalk in front of our house. He just can't get off the block.
Okay.
Well, sounds like Tom's going to follow up with you. Thank you for coming and telling us about this, and we'll see if we can get those curb
thank
cuts.
You so much.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else that...
I'm Jose Carrasco from 358 Lamppost Lane. I live right up the road from this proposed property that wants to be, people are trying to put the rental units and townhomes and what have you. I would say this to the board. I'm a businessman and I own rental properties. And I always look for the aesthetics of the rental properties. And I always keep them up to date. And I keep them nice because I live in the community too. And my residents live as part of the village where we live. One thing I want to point out, there's a perfect example on Church of a builder who was very responsible, building two homes and two lots, one 1444 and 1426. To me, that's the gentleman you ought to talk to before you build a bunch of apartments that we have on Hartman Drive, which look absolutely horrible. I challenge every one of you to drive on Hartman Drive. There are swing sets, motorcycles, engines, trampolines, a zillion bikes, and that's not good. And it looks dirty. And I strongly believe, that renters take advantage of landlords because landlords pursue the dollar. I'm okay with things being built there, but that is a beautiful piece of property. And I think the thing to do there is probably zone it out and put some nice homes. I just looked at realtor.com. There are no homes available in Hershey or Hummelstown that are not pending or sold. That builder, and I know he wants to make a lot of money with the rentals, trust me, I do pretty good. But I'm going to tell you, if he builds 8, 9 homes there, or 7 or 6, or 5 or 4, whatever the denomination is, or the numerical number, he will sell them in a matter of 2 hours. That's all I have to say, and I'm going to add one thing. Has anybody ever tried to make a left-hand turn on 743 Oak Church? So we're either going to have to put a light there, or it's going to be a fatality. It's a challenge, just like an obstacle course to make a left turn. I'm not worried about the traffic coming up Lamp Post. I'm worried about the traffic making a left on Church. And like the first lady, the second lady that spoke here that lives on 171, I believe, said, you know, they cut through traffic to go to the Hershey Med. I'm not opposed about building the community and having growth and homes and stuff. But guys, we've got to be responsible. The West End is available. The other gentleman made a strong comment about shoehorning this type of property out there in that part of town, the West End. And like I said, I'm not opposed to it. But we have to be responsible. And these boards have to have backbones. And it concerns me tremendously that the guy that's on the board or the supervisor is the guy building the stuff. We already went through this exercise of the pool. So guys, you've got to have a backbone. This community is looking more and more like the West Shore. Just run your numbers on the street. Have the police department, Mr. Garthia, run a little computer to tell you how many cars are going through in the traffic. It's not the community I joined 11 years ago. I appreciate your time, and I know you guys will make the right decision. You have to be fair to the builder, but you got to be fair to the people in town, too. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, for the record, these are all good comments. We appreciate public comment, so I don't want to rush anybody. If there's anybody that wants to speak, we don't have a project, so I don't have any details or idea of what anybody is prepared to do with that particular property. But it'll come, I guess, in due course, and when it does, we will note all of these comments. We know that we'll be able to reflect back on them, and that's important. But is there anybody else that wants to come forward on any? Yes. You would just come to the podium, okay, if you wouldn't mind. I don't want to make it hard.
Hi, everyone. I live in 173 Pendle Lake, Maine. So it's exactly opposite for the property that's actually being developed right now.
Excuse me. Can I have your name?
Gina Al-Sadi.
Thank you.
How do you spell it?
G-H-I-N-A space A-L space S-A-A-D-I.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we just purchased this property 2 years ago in 2020. And when I purchased this property, it was like an industrial dumpster. Honestly, the previous owner had all kinds of things, stumps and trees and bushes. And I have all my, receipts that cost me $10,000 to clean it. So now after receiving this letter today by mail, it's saying that we're going to devalue by changing the developer. I want to be assured that I won't be devaluing my property after spending a lot of it inside out, renovating it from a person that actually did it as a dumpster.
Where is, did you say, I didn't hear where you said your
173 Candlewick Lane.
Okay, so.
That's the exactly opposite that had more than 30 trees, industrial waste dumped in their backyard. And I have company receipts saying clearly what they got. Steel, cement blocks. My neighbor, I don't know if he's here, he helped me and he was shocked. The guy actually abused the property. I got a company even cleaning the waste creek in it. They found I'm shocked, for 30 years no one even did an investigation went over there. So I'm worried. I think I'm the most worried person here that after paying and only 1 year living in this property being devalued. So is this going to affect my house?
No. We don't know yet because nothing's come before us, but it's important that you're coming here tonight to tell us this.
Yes, and I have a kid. I live with my mom and my child, and I want to know, is it commercial? Is he going to do duplexes? Is he going to put single people over there? Especially when I lived in this property for 2 years, I realized that we were not a lot of children, and when we came, a lot of people came and moved actually with children. So I was wondering, how this duplex or townhouse is going to affect. Like, is it because now she can invite to her friend's house? Should I be worried that single people are going to be there?
Thank you.
My name is Pat Potter. I live at 823 Town Hill Drive. My property is right, my fence is right where this property is that everyone's talking about.
It's okay.
When I moved in 9 years ago, I was told by the person who owned it and by my realtor, no one would ever build there because there are no roads. Yeah. There are no roads. There's only one way into this little farmhouse, nothing else. But when I got that letter in the mail the other day, I thought, you know, what's going on here? I probably am going to be affected the most. I have a fence right there, and that's my backyard where this property is built. If he wants to develop something, I would recommend single or two-story homes with a first-floor master bedroom. There aren't any in the local area, because, and I know that because I know lots of friends and relatives who would love to move to this area, and they need a first-floor master bedroom in bed. So if he wants to do something to improve the neighborhood, that would be perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair. This is the second time I've heard a letter.
I can't hear
it. Mr. Chair, this is the second time I've heard a letter mentioned. Did I miss something?
I can explain to you. Somebody put in the mailbox a liner saying, hey, heads up, this is what's going on. I know it's not legal to do that, and I didn't do it, but I'm just saying it was in my mailbox.
I think it's fair to say that's not from the township.
No. I don't think the township was said that.
And just to reiterate, Chuck, the township has not received any application, any permit, anything.
No plans.
That's correct.
Well, somebody must know something if somebody formulated a pretty nice piece of information and there's people here. So I guess my point, and I'm going to talk to Chris, I don't want to take the bit on the silence. You know, there has to be transparency. In today's world with government and people, and the way people think, you know, it just seems to me where you have to be open. And the fact that I'm here speaking is because I've been through this in other communities. And if you don't get in front of it, you'll be behind it. And when you're behind it, the deals are done, because what happens behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. And that's why I made the point. Leadership of your level has to have a backbone. And just because you break bread with them doesn't mean you can cut a deal with them and affect the community. And I think no one in this community here is saying, hey, man, we don't want the guy to make money. I'm sure everybody in this room, where we live, there's a lot more capitalists than there are not. But we have to be minded. And I think, to answer the question of the letter, I applaud the letter. I applaud the flyer going out, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have to be here. So it makes a stronger community when we can face you guys and tell you what our concerns are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I just
want to
add this. We moved from Dubai to come live in Hershey, especially because I'm a single mom, and my daughter, I could have went to Hummelstown with all like Deer Run and everything, but I didn't want to give this atmosphere for my kid. I wanted her to have the family, American home, single home, drive a bike, everything. So if I wanted to look for townhouses and new houses, even the price, I'm not talking about the price, I'm talking about watching my kid from the window, you get in the bus stop, and then like knowing there's actually like you have called that, even if it's not townhouses, like, this scares me. Like, now I'm questioning, did I make the right decision in buying two houses? And where does this put me? Where is it fair for me? Like, I want to sell my property now. Like, I don't want to be in the neighborhood anymore. I would have went under Shack Park and purchased over there. Like, where are all other houses? I don't feel like it's fair, you know, for me in 2 years, finding that a developer is going to have I think it should be a single home. Like, okay, no homes.
I hear you loud and clear, and I don't want to. And you're welcome to come back up to the podium, but we want to keep everybody coming to the podium so everyone can hear what everybody's saying and it's on the record.
You want to come up?
But are you?
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. But my mom, she just want to make a point. Like, she's just saying, secure, we live in this dairy town for the reputation. Honestly. And we see ourselves, like, oh, we are from Dairy Township. Oh, we live in Hershey. Oh, the school district. This is what we came for. And if that is not provided, we should leave.
Thank you for that comment. Mr. Gannon.
Right. Rich Gam, Miss Arena, and Hot People Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm getting the agenda under New Business A1 through 8-18. I'm wondering why it wasn't explained what this really consisted of. Nobody knows who's buying the company or whoever they are. I think if more people were aware that this is the development at the corner of Governor and Fishburne, more people would have showed up because we are quite concerned. Now, another gas station, I count up, there's 5 gas stations within a half square mile. Do we need another gas station there to add to more traffic? I'm late tonight because I've come from Giant and had to wait at the intersection for 2 lights to change to get here. So I think I would ask, in order for more people to come and voice their opinions, that that be tabled till the next meeting and explain exactly what that is about. Because I think if you look around, everybody got the message about the townhomes are going, but very few people understood what that was on the agenda, what it meant. So this project's been dragging on for years. I think another 2 weeks will help. I respect what you do, but I think if they can explain everything else on the agenda, I think they should have added more information so that more people could have been aware and come out and voice their opinion. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Steve. Anybody else? Okay.
Good evening. My name is Michael Graycar. I'm Vice President of the Middletown Homestown Railroad. I think our crossing signals were on your agenda this evening. Now I don't see it on my paper. I just wanted to reassure everybody here. We're just upgrading the signals to safer signals because the ones that are there, one was hit by a tractor trailer. The other one is just so rusty and it's a post of hazard to the traffic and all. We just want to update that to make it safer if we do have to cross. Nothing else is going to change. Our operations aren't going to change. The way the signals operate are not going to change. We're not going to cross any more than the 12. Just want to let everybody know that that's what's happening. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. I'm going to then close this public comment session. Again, there'll be another one later in the evening at the end of the meeting. But we'll go on to the next item on the calendar, which is our consent calendar. So under the consent calendar, we can take a number of items all at once and vote on them in mass, or we can take them individually. The items under the consent calendar tonight are the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes from our February 8th, 2022 regular meeting. The release of the remaining balance of financial security provided for the stormwater management plan for the Hershey Medical Center Academic Support Building, EA Mock Expansion S-2017-023. The release of the remaining balance of financial security provided for the stormwater management plan for Shive Residence S-2020-008. And the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $948,856.08 and payroll in the amount of $306,117.44. So at this time, I'll ask my fellow board members, do you have a preference and is there a motion?
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, to adopt the consent calendar items A, B, C, and D.
Thank you, Mr. Zmuda. Motion made to approve all items under the consent calendar for this evening's A, B, C, and D. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion second by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion on these items?
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the items on our consent calendar for this evening are approved. That takes us to new business. The first item under new business is the sketch plan review for Liberty Properties. I'm going to let Mr. Chrisman sort of provide the opening for this item.
Sure. My opening is really simple. I'm going to turn it over to the applicant this evening. They're here represented tonight. They will be going over a sketch plan similar to what they did a few months ago. I think late last year we had them in for a sketch plan review. I think they have modified their renderings based on conversation they had with the board here that evening, and as such, they're going to turn it over and turn it to them and let them explain what's changed.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chrisman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is James Strong. I'm an attorney with McLeese Wallace and Nurek. Also with me tonight are Lowell Gates with Lindlow Properties, Doug Tilley with TKS Architects, Jim Snyder with Snyder Sakari and Associates, as well as representatives from Sheets, the Dialysis Care Center, and the Kitty Academy. So a large group of folks here tonight with you to discuss this project. But we are going to try and keep it short, just to provide you with an overview and an update. Since we were here in August of last year to discuss a sketch plan for the proposed development, and then there were two subsequent planning committee meetings at which the project was also discussed. And the developer had an opportunity to make changes to the proposed project in response to comments and feedback that were received both at that sketch plan review meeting and at the planning committee meetings. In particular, I don't want to steal Jim Snyder's thunder, there have been concerns expressed regarding the height and location of the mixed-use building. So that was proposed to be a four-story building with retail on the first floor, apartment dwelling units on the upper floors, and that was located out towards the intersection of Governor Road and Fishburne. In response to feedback that was received, that building has been relocated south on the property away from the intersection, and the height of the building has been reduced from four floors to three floors. You can see, or you will see, that Sheets has moved out towards the intersection. So essentially those, the mixed-use building and Sheets have flip-flop locations on the property. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jim Snyder just to provide a quick overview of the master plan as it stands right now.
Good evening. Jim Snyder from Snyder Sakari Associates. I'll just take a moment to walk through the site plan. It has now gone from the sketch plan to the basis of the master plan that we intend to file with the township shortly. Chuck, would you put the site plan up? Or?
I wasn't given the site plan.
What's that?
So I wasn't given the site plan. Mm-hmm. You can go through the... Well, maybe. I thought you were just after... I think I'm, you were just after the presentation.
Jeff, can I ask you a quick question?
So,
is it possible to do a quick review of what the previous sketch was and what it looked like, and some of the concerns and why you're going in this direction?
Certainly.
Because I remember the first one, and I went to this one, and I was thinking, well, why did all this move? And I remember there were some PP&L lines going through the west side of the property, so we couldn't do things there. There was a drainage or something. If you could go through that, maybe that would help folks that are here understand how we got to this point, or how you got to this point.
So this represents the current plan. Thank you, Chuck.
Sure, sure.
Just very quickly, as Jamie mentioned, some of the changes that were made were Sheets was moved to the front of the site, and the multi-use building was moved further back from the corner. This plan also reflects the addition of a medical office building or dialysis center at the back of the property, and then roughly a 10,000 square foot daycare facility on the plan. All of these buildings are facing inward. The parking is interior to the site. The site access has pretty much been maintained with the prior plan, relocation of Sand Hill Road, right in, right out driveway, right in off of Governor, and of course a driveway from Sand Hill as well. So this represents the current plan. This building has been reduced, as Jamie mentioned, by about 20 units, and that has been reduced by one floor. But in terms of some of the site constraints that you mentioned before, the PPL underground utility is located roughly in this location right here. That creates, obviously, a constraint on the site. And, of course, the relocation of Sand Hill Road, we have to maintain, obviously, distance from the intersection, as well as development of the right and right-out driveway. So those are some of the constraints and essentially the site plan as we propose it at this point.
Governor Road. Where's Governor is here.
So I've got a question too. Looking at the site plan, it looks like every vehicle that would be coming in, whether it's from Governor Road or from Fishburne Road, would have to exit out that back area there and then make a left onto the new Sand Hill. Am I reading that correctly, or am I not understanding it correctly? So how...
Vehicles exiting the site?
Exiting the site. So no matter if you're going to Sheets or you're going to the daycare or whatever, how are you getting out? Are you only able to get out of the site and make a left or a right? Well, it would be a left to turn on to the relocated Sand Hill.
Yeah, predominantly you would use Sand Hill, but there's also a right in, right out driveway that has a exit.
So the only way to get back, though, to Governor Road is to go out Sand Hill?
Correct.
Okay. So, my concern with that is...
I suspect you could also use...
The moving of Sand Hill, one of the benefits of moving Sand Hill is to alleviate some traffic concerns. But now every person that's coming into this new area has to leave from one exit.
Correct.
And then make a left, and there's not going to be a light there.
There is proposed to be a light here.
No, not there. When you're leaving the...
Oh,
when
at
you're
this
leaving,
location?
Yeah. No light.
Yeah, no light. That certainly would warrant a traffic signal.
I think that... Perhaps there's some traffic issues there.
Well, as part of the master plan, we will be submitting a traffic impact study,
which
will address traffic flows and capacities and so forth.
Okay. I've got other questions, but if anybody else do.
Yeah. Just a quick one. Jim, is the cut-through still to Carnes there?
Yes, it's proposed at this location.
So you guys got permission to go through there?
Yes.
Actually, we're still talking with the owner of Carnes about that access.
Okay.
And where is this?
Right here. This is Carnes. This is the back of the parking area, and we're proposing a connection at that location.
The rental units that are being proposed, how many rental units would be in there?
40.
40 rental units. Mm-hmm. And is that, do you kind of have an idea of what that looks like yet? Where that's just kind of to be determined, like one bedroom, two bedroom, a mix of both?
A mixture of one bedrooms and studios.
One bedrooms and studios?
Yes.
Okay. And any idea, just rough, how much the rent will be on the property?
I wouldn't know that, perhaps.
Maybe you're not to that point yet. Maybe I'm joking.
We're still studying that.
Still studying it, okay.
Certainly market rate. Apartments.
Marguerite.
Okay. So you will have an updated traffic study as the part of the submission of the master plan.
Right, right. Yeah, the ordinance is very specific in terms of what we need to submit, what the master plan plan sets, architectural requirements, signage, traffic index studies. So that's kind of the next step.
Is there any expansion of the right-of-way from Governor?
There is existing right-of-way that was taken as part of the development of the right-turn lane that the township did some time ago. I believe that right-of-way is sufficient. There is some dedicated right-of-way along Fishburn. We anticipate moving into the final design. And, of course, the relocated sand hill is all right-of-way. It will be dedicated to the township.
And then so the proposal would be that there'll be a traffic light and that the convergence of Sand Hill and Fishburn Road.
Yes.
I've had folks convey to me concern that the houses on the opposite side of the street there from where Sand Hill intersects Fishburn. Yeah. Yes. That there is a concern of traffic in and out of those areas, based on having a light at that intersection. How will those folks navigate getting on the Fishburn Road from that? I'm assuming the alley, essentially, back there.
Yeah, there's an alleyway that comes out right at that intersection that would have to be signal controlled.
So it will be signal controlled?
It would have to be part of that intersection. Any of the homes that would be further down Fishburn Road, maintain their driveway access.
And do you foresee having to take some property along Fishburn Road there in order to create that third lane?
There would be widening on each symmetrically on each side of the road. It would be a small amount of right-of-way that I believe would be required for those improvements. Yes.
Is that something that anyone from the group has spoken to those homeowners about?
I'm not sure there has been contact yet at this point.
We have not.
I don't know who he is.
Could you just make sure, this is a reminder for everybody, because our stenographer is taking everything down. So if you don't say your name, and then it works better if you say your name for the record, so she can spell it, and then we don't have to interrupt you.
Very, very happy. My name is Lowell Gates. I'm with Linlow Properties. And our road engineer is KCI Technologies. They are starting to do the road design, but they have to. They can't go into it too deeply until the traffic impact study is finished and approved through PennDOT. But KCI is telling me that on the west side of Fishburn Road, the land required would only be about 3 feet, and really that would be simply to kind of taper the soil down. So I think it will be relatively minor to make the widening.
But before the plan comes to the township, will those homeowners be included in the plan?
We had contemplated talking to the neighbors, but without something more definitive, we felt it was kind of premature.
And Mr. Gates, I know you're familiar with the zoning in that area. When we talk about the sheets being there in the corner, Mr. Gavin brings up a point. We all, at some point, have thought about this project, but the zoning in that particular area would accommodate a gas station.
Correct.
So there wouldn't be zoning approval or board approval needed to put a gas station at that site.
No, I believe everything we're doing is within the ordinance.
Okay. I just want to make that point clear so that we have, we just need the right sort of context to these things. We've asked you to come in a couple times to talk about this proposed project. Nothing's been filed, but you've taken feedback from the board. You're still going to have to go through the public process. Correct?
Correct, yeah. We're hoping, we were appreciative that the board gave us the time and gave us the feedback. I think the plan in its current condition is much better than it was before. So when we file with the Planning Commission in March, I think we're in a much better position to go before the Planning Commission. And I really appreciate all of you taking so much time over the past couple of months to meet with us.
So to be clear, the master plan is a conditional use process, and the gas station will be a conditional use process.
Are they separate from each other?
We allow an applicant doing a master plan to include all conditional uses necessary within that master plan.
This same property, though, had received a conditional use for a gas station prior, correct?
And for large-scale retail.
Okay.
And I don't believe you're meeting the square footage for large scale retail.
I don't think so.
So the next step, as Mr. Gaines mentioned, would be for us to file a conditional use application, not only for approval of the master plan itself, but also as part of that application for approval of several of the proposed uses within the master plan. The sheets would require conditional use approval. Apartments requires conditional use approval. The child daycare facility requires conditional use approval. And the dialysis care center would require conditional use approval. So all of those uses are identified as uses permitted in the Hershey Mixed Use Southern Core Overlay as permitted by conditional use. The one benefit is you as a board and the Planning Commission and members of the public will see all of that in one application. There will be a public hearing at which the Board of Supervisors will consider sort of the entire package that's proposed for this proposed project. So just to be clear, the uses themselves are permitted by conditional use. The master plan is permitted by conditional use. That would be a conditional use application that would be filed next month and then processed through the township accordingly.
Is that the explanation for using a master plan? My next question for Chuck was, what was previously approved was not under a master plan, correct?
No. It was not.
So my question would be, why the master plan now?
So a couple different things. One, you know, the master plan encourages assembling properties and developing them as one cohesive unit, which is what is proposed here. In exchange for doing that, you are allowed certain departures from bulk and area requirements, etc. The uses themselves don't change from what is otherwise permitted in the underlying zoning district. So it all comes before the board under one conditional use application for review and consideration.
And the apartments themselves did require a master plan.
And
as part of that conditional use.
Yeah, and talking about the sheets approval that was obtained previously was for a sheets that was on the back of the property, which is not what is proposed, and so that conditional use approval would not be valid for what we're proposing to do currently. So it would require a new application for the sheets itself.
Jim, when you send in the conditional approval for the sheets, is it going to contain all the original conditional use requests? I think there were downward facing lights. Right,
John. That will be required by ordinance. Location of the canopy, the lighting levels.
Right, but I thought
lighting
we had
levels.
Some special ones that they were downward facing. They were dim, no music.
We were very specific to not have music because
right.
of the prior conditional use because of the adjacent residential uses, and also as is typically done with a C store, with a convenience store, the lighting under the canopy is generally brighter than the minimum required. And they agreed to make it the minimum required for safety.
Okay, thanks. Joe, I just wanted to make sure that you guys are going to include that from the original.
Correct. We'll coordinate that.
Thank you.
What I would like to do is have Doug Tilley discuss the renderings that he prepared for the project, just to give you another view of the project that's different than just looking at the flat plan.
Just very briefly.
Sure.
This is a sketch, correct?
Correct.
So there's no action for the board to take this evening. It's my understanding from what I'm hearing is that your intent is to file a master plan, which would then put the conditional use process into play.
Correct.
And there's just one other item. You went through a number of the uses of the property. In the dialysis center, in addition to your conditional use, it's probably another step. That would have to be a determination for the board at the time of the master plan discussion and hearing with respect to that specific use. And we don't have to get into the weeds on that. I just want to make clear that it's not the dialysis center is a specific conditional use. It could potentially fall in that category depending upon what the determinations are of the board at that point.
Correct. The intent would be for the overall application to include request for conditional use approval for the dialysis center as a similar use. Again, the idea being it's best to look at this comprehensively when the entire project is before the board. So that would be the intent, and that would put it before the board at all as one application.
Understood. And the only other question I have, but maybe the next thing that looks better, is whether or not, and I don't know if I'm just not seeing it, but if there's any open space part of this plan, that's all.
Okay.
Which I think that'll be enough.
My question was just basically a comment about the master plan. My concern with the master plan is that it's just a plan and then it changes. And so I do have concerns that what we see as a board then changes and we have very little that we can do to kind of keep it the same. So when the master plan comes through, I guess my question to you is it going to stay the same?
Certainly that's the intent. I mean, we've been working at this for a long time with the idea being we want to present a plan to you that you feel comfortable with, that you feel comfortable approving, and that we feel comfortable moving ahead with developing. And so it wasn't an application filed, and then we have that discussion. The idea was we'd like to receive as much input and feedback from the township as possible so that we know when we file the application we have project that we're comfortable with and that we feel the township has some comfort level with as well. So the idea would not be to get approval and then change some aspect of it.
Doug. Hello, I'm Doug Tilley with TKS Architects, and I'll go through the rendering for you. This is a view sort of us as 80-foot tall people looking out over the site right after a summer thunderstorm. You can see all the rain. You see the Sheiks is over here. Governor's is out this way. Back here. Sandhill is back here. As we look at it, the Sheiks is here. The apartment building is back here. The dialysis care center is here. And then this is the Kitty Academy over here. This is looking, we're now flying over top of the Sheiks, heading down Fishburne Road. This is the right end. And right out, this is now the apartment building. One of the things you'll see as we go through the master plan is that all the materials that we're using will be consistent on all the buildings. We're using materials that will match basically the Hershey Story building in downtown Hershey with the brick and the sandstone and the block. One thing that was sort of unique about this one, other than the apartment building, which has retail on the ground floor and now two floors of apartments. The other buildings, the Sheiks, the Diocese Care Center, and also the Kitty Academy are all corporate prototypes that we've taken from those corporations and have reworked them so that they will match the architecture and create a cohesive master plan design. So. This is the entrance at Sand Hill, once again right after a summer thunderstorm. This shows you the dialysis care center here, and then the Kitty Academy is over here. This is that two-way in and out. Sheets is back here, and our building is over here, the retail mixed use. This is actually on Governor's on 422, looking towards the Sheiks. And one thing I wanted to point out was as we're on Governor's here, and this is the Sheiks, our site falls back 7 feet as we head back towards Sand Hill and head down Fishburne. So now the three-story building back here, minus the 7 feet, as you can see, you can hardly even see it now over top of the Sheiks and the Sheiks canopy and stuff as you're on Governor's. Because we pushed it back in the site, and as I said, the site also is dropping as you head down that way. This is looking at the retail and apartment building. We're now on Fishburne. We're at the right in and right out. You can see the materials that make up the building. It's a little dark here, but we have retail on the ground floor, and we have two floors of apartments. There's 20 apartments on each floor. They're all one-bedroom studio apartments, as I say, all retail on the ground floor. This is looking at it from the other side. Once again, you can kind of see the retail development here. The other thing I can point out is over here, we've been very careful about the side that faces, and actually all of our buildings that face the back of the property, if you will, or face the streets. that we have no backs to any of our buildings, even this building, the retail. We've been very careful that we have windows and doors and fenestration along this side so that the public can have access into the retail spaces on this side. Our storage areas and stuff for all the retail will be in the center of the spaces, so the retails will actually have the two fronts and stuff. So there will not be a back, as you would consider, like the back of a strip shopping center or something, where you'd have all the steel doors and cinder block walls and things like that. So there really is no back to the building. This is looking at the dialysis care building. As I said, once again, this is a corporate prototype that they have. We've taken it and reworked the materials and some of the fenestration. Once again, what we'll do, as you can see here, I don't have a shot of the back of this building, but when you come in the building, all of the dialysis chairs and stuff are actually on the back side, and we have the whole back of the building has windows and glazing and stuff, so the people, as they're receiving their dialysis, and they're in there for 3 to 4 hours, they're looking out the windows and stuff on the back side and stuff. So once again, the building will not really have a back. It's going to be, you know, really just two fronts, and all the dialysis chairs will be on the back side with a view out over Sand Hill. This is the Kitty Academy. It must be about 8:30 in the morning or something. Everybody's dropping off their children. Once again, using the materials, it was a corporate prototype also. One of the things we've done in to be in compliance with the design guidelines of the master plan was the any of the buildings, like Kitty Academy's corporate prototype, has all just flat facade. We've worked with the facades so that we have pillars, we have posts, we have recesses and indents, we have the gables on the roof and stuff like that to break up those long facades on all of the buildings. Just looking from the other direction. This is the entrance. This is the sheets, and this is like their latest prototype. One of the things you'll notice that's a little different about this one is their canopy. They've gotten rid of the balloon, you know, the red balloons that they had in the past, and now have a sloped sort of structural canopy out in the front. Once again, you can see how we reworked the materials so the entire master plan will comply with the materials of downtown Hershey. Looking at more of the sheets, you can see the canopy there, how it has this sloped structural element as opposed to the puffy red balloon or tent that they used to have out front. And there we are, all the way around. So, any questions?
I have a question about the relocated Sand Hill Road. On the other side, there are still some homes that are on Fishburne that will be kind of at the corner of the new Sand Hill and Fishburne. Is there any plans to provide those homes some buffer, like trees or landscaping or something? I think I saw in the sketch plan it was just open space. I think it would be nice to add something in.
I know that the master plan requires the vegetation all the way around the property. And
right, but I think it's on the, it'll be on the other side of Sand Hill Road.
We're talking about right here.
Yeah.
And so part of this plan is there's some residual property that's in this location.
Okay.
That's going to be left as open space.
Okay.
And then there's a strip of additional land that, that heads towards Fishburne, and that'll be again open space and landscaped appropriately.
So it will be landscaped.
Yes.
Those homes are used to having other homes there. Now all of a sudden they're kind of out in the open.
Right. I understand. Yeah. I mean, we have to keep the intersection clear for site purposes, but there will be landscape.
Even if it's set back or something to give those homes some buffer.
Right. Correct.
Okay. All right.
Also, John. Lowell Gates again. One of the things that we have planned for the for those vacant areas on the south side of Sand Hill, in talking with the Derry Township Municipal Authority and the stormwater issues we were proposing to actually take stormwater off of the new Sand Hill Road and basically detain it in those areas. Now, those can be also landscaped, of course, but I think that way you're getting stormwater away. You're not having as much runoff down into Cherry.
I definitely think that would be a good idea, but there's homes there. I mean, so would they be next to a stormwater basin?
Yeah, but it'll be nicely landscaped. And I think it'd be more like a biogarden, or like a rain garden, with it can collect stormwater but also nicely landscaped.
And I think many years ago when the Sheets was built on Milltown Road, there was an attempt to provide the sort of landscaping Natalie, I think, is talking about. I can't remember, it's been so many years ago, but I remember the developer working with the township and the neighborhood at that time to make sure there was this, I don't even remember what kind of trees they were, but there were just a tree line, not of things that were like 2 feet high, but something that was larger so that it did not look like just, you know, empty space.
At the time, they were putting a car wash on that Sheets, and the cars were coming out pointing over to Deer Run, so they were going to put up a row of arborvitae, a row of permanently vegetated, taller trees.
Did they do that? I mean, did they do that?
They got rid of the car wash before they built it.
Good. Well, they, I don't know if that's true. But, I mean, they, but so the request is a good one that Natalie makes. But, it's clear you guys, I mean, I think you have made a lot of adjustments in this plan, which we appreciate, because it's not what the first plan looked like. And that plan had its own merits, but I think this addresses, in many ways, many of our concerns. We'll be interested in seeing ultimately when we bring forward a master plan, the traffic study, because that's a major, that's a, you know, this is potential pinch point here. And so we'll want to, at a minimum, do no harm, do no worse, right? And hopefully there's some of the measures that you're contemplating will improve some of the traffic there. But, I appreciate you all coming tonight. And does anyone else have any questions of the folks from there? And to Mr. Gamble's point, and this is sort of us, you know, we do need to do a better job on the, I know that like, there's nothing wrong with the way this is identified in the agenda, but we might want to put like something in parentheses that is more descriptive so that when folks look at the agenda, they know, because I wouldn't know if I, you know, just looked at, I mean, I know this project because it's been presented to us. We may want to think about that, just ways so that our agenda is more clear to folks what we're talking about. But if nobody has any other questions, to the gentleman, Ken Dunlop, Jim?
I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you having us on the agenda, giving us an opportunity to come back, present to you the changes that we've made in response to the comments, and we look forward to moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We'll take us to the next item on the agenda. Give folks a chance to figure out that would like to. The next item, though, is the consideration of awarding a bid for the collection and disposal of solid waste and yard waste for collection, processing, and sale of recyclable materials. And everybody's second to Mr. Chrisman, something with this item.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you are aware, our current municipal solid waste contract is set to expire March 31 of this year. This will complete a contract period that was for an initial term of 3 years with 2 1-year renewals. Under the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code, we are required to bid for this type of service for our community. The board approved authorizing advertisement of bids at its regularly scheduled meeting on Tuesday, January 25th. A mandatory pre-bid conference was held on February 8th, and bids were due this morning by 10 a.m. and were opened at 10:15. The township received only one bid, Penn Waste Management of Pennsylvania. Two other bidders, Penn Waste and Republic, both declined to provide bids for the contract period due to labor shortages, supply chain issues, and timing associated with getting a contract turned around and set in place to begin by April 1st. All that having been said, I'd like to just run through the specifics of the bid for you this evening. Once I've completed that, Mr. Stang is here from Waste Management tonight. He's prepared to discuss the particulars of the bid with you and address any questions and concerns that you may have. The total base bid for this contract period is $10,879,512. The residential price per quarter for year one is $113.85 per quarter. Year two, $120.69 per quarter. Year three, $127.92 per quarter. The pay-as-you-throw bag system, some residents utilize that, has increased to $9.50 per bag. A price for an additional toter per quarter is $60. Penalty for late payment of bills is $25. There is no charge for backup door pickup. Special off pickup, and this is primarily for Freon-related items, is at $175, a base charge of $55, and a volume charge of $75 per cubic yard. There is no charge for mixed paper. Bulk containers for multifamily units is at priced at $8.10 per cubic yard. There is no charge for mixed paper for multifamily units, and there is no discount percentage for any unit choosing to do its own in the multifamily and choose your own recycling. In essence, what I'd like to point out for you is that the major change, obviously, is the change in the quarterly rate for our residents. We're moving from $60.03 per quarter to $113.85 per quarter in year one. It is a significant increase over what we are paying today. However, I'd like to point out that the $60.03 that we are currently paying was fixed as part of year three of the previous contract that remained in place for the two renewal years, the out years in the contract. And the only change that would ever occur in that pricing would be relative to any changes at the Harrisburg incinerator. Those costs of disposal are passed directly through to the end users here in the town. I'm certainly happy to answer questions. I know you probably have a few. I'd like to give Mr. Stang an opportunity to come forward and kind of talk to you about how the bid was put together from a company standpoint. And Tom, if you could maybe provide a glimpse into contracts in and around our area so that we can gain some perspective by what these numbers really mean.
Sure. Hello, thanks for having me tonight. Happy to be the bidder for this. Sorry that you only got one bid, but there certainly are circumstances that are going on today that are causing that. And our numbers, you see an increase from this $60 per quarter to the $113 per quarter number. A big portion of that, there's a variety of issues. Certainly labor is a big issue for us at this point in time. We see everywhere needing workers to come to work, and nobody today is wanting to jump on a garbage truck and do the garbage truck business. We have needed to increase our pay scale to our drivers in an effort to keep them, as well as not just their labor rates, but as well as benefits as well. Disposal increases at the incinerators, it's nearly $100 a ton. In other communities around us, counties around us, Cumberland County, there's no flow control. It could be $50 a ton or $40 a ton, wherever you may wind up taking it. There's no flow control. In Lebanon County, it's in the area of $65 a ton, but the Harrisburg incinerator, due to its storied past, I believe it's up around, it's just shy of $100 a ton. So that's a factor. We've seen fuel costs at pumps. And recycling markets, although they're improving, you know, 5 years ago when we bid this contract, we were getting paid for our recycling material. We're paying quite a bit to dispose of it at this point in time. Not what we've been paying maybe 2 years ago, where we may have been paying $125 a ton to dispose of recyclables, or disposal was less than the cost of processing recyclables. Today it's around $75 per ton, so we're still paying for recyclables. So you didn't have some of those costs or those expenses 5 years ago, and then you are coming off of a five-year fixed rate where rates have been pretty much the same, other than where we passed on disposal increases throughout these past 5 years. As far as other bid activity, I do municipal bids from here to New Jersey, and we're seeing pretty much the same thing. I've seen costs go up anywhere from 60% increases to 110% increases in costs. Yours is a big jump. When we did this the last time, just geographically, we were operating out of a Paul Meyer hauling company, which we internally have since closed down, and we now operate and haul out of Camp Hill. So those numbers we had put together 5 years ago, we didn't know we were going to be shutting that division down. We're now running out of Camp Hill. That's an added cost for us as well. We put numbers together on the table, anticipating competition, and with a big increase, knowing that we had a risk of possibly losing the work, but we know what we need in order to perform the next couple of years. And then years 4 and 5, it's solely up to you to extend those contracts. So we have to figure and forecast costs basically over a 5-year period in an inflationary time that's very uncertain for us. So I hope that's helped to address some of the issues that our industry is dealing with.
Well, I don't know if anybody has questions. I know we were all, you know, on the one end, we understand the increase in costs. I mean, we don't know your business the way you know your business, but, I mean, costs are going up everywhere on all kinds of things. And it's not surprising they would have increased here. I think we were all shocked at what the low bid was and that there was only one bid, right? So we were not... it's not an easy conversation because these costs have a direct impact on people's, you know, disposable income in our residents' pockets at the end of the day, but I don't know what options we have.
Yeah, and just to talk on the sole bidder in this case, I mean, there's been other bids that, you know, we have not bid where we're not an incumbent just because we can't staff up or get the trucks or carts. I mean, to get loads of carts delivered, it could be 9 months out before you get any new carts for new contracts. So there's been multiple contracts that I've bid throughout my years in the business that we are just turning away from ourselves, and the incumbents are in a position because I already have equipment in place, workers in place. I can see how maybe some other folks may not be able to put a bid submittal together.
Is that, Tom, do you think that, and I don't know, I'm not asking you to speak for other companies who didn't bid, but it sounds like what you're saying is they may have opted not to bid because they couldn't ramp up an operation really starting from scratch in every township without having charges exceeding even higher rates.
Yeah, I mean, even higher rates or even being able, I mean, the biggest concern, and look, we struggled this past year with the yard waste collection, right? And it was a staffing thing that we were dealing with there. And our primary purpose was to get the municipal solid waste collected first, recycling collected second. Sadly, yard waste was a distant third because we wanted to get the other materials off the streets. And staffing-wise was a great challenge. COVID would set us back. You got guys running routes that aren't familiar with routes, and so there was definitely service-related issues. And just like anywhere else where we see people aren't going back to work and there's job postings everywhere, people have left our industry, and these warehouses that are opening up on Route 81, where a guy, instead of being in the back of a garbage truck somewhere, can be working inside comfortable elements and be making the same, if not more money. So it's a real challenge, and it will be a challenge in the future in this business. One thing that certainly has helped is the automation with the carts, because I only need one guy to hire and to put into that position. But there's parts of the township, the village primarily, where I still need to use the traditional rear-loading trucks, and that's added helpers when we come back to those.
Any questions for Tom?
I've got a question about the yard waste. This contract does include the monthly yard waste pickup for the same time frame as it did in prior years.
No changes to your current services.
Just wanted to make sure.
The yard waste is one bulk item a week. Yard waste is April through October, once a month.
Okay. And my other question, not a question, I just wanted to confirm what you had said about you have no choice but to go to the Harrisburg incinerator. So even though prices are lower other places, you're stuck.
It's which what's means called flow control. In Dauphin County, waste has to go to the Harrisburg incinerator.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for coming.
Sure.
Facing the firing squad, so to speak. I hear everything you're telling me, and I kind of understand it, but I still have an issue. And once these numbers get out to the public, I think they're going to be out here wanting to burn us in effigy for trying to approve this without a better explanation. I ran some numbers here, and even though we approved 2 years from initial contract, even at a 10% increase per year, it would have, the last year should have only gone up to probably about $75, if that. And even from there up to 113 is a 54% increase, roughly 54%. But from the final negotiated price of those last 2 years, it's a 90% increase. That's crazy. When people hear that, they're going to go nuts. I'm not going to argue over the following years, the following 2 years, because that's a perfect, 6% increase every year after that is perfectly acceptable to me. I get that. But a 90% from one to another. And the per bag increase, that's 111% increase in the per bag. I know you know this, and I'm just spouting off now because I'm not happy with this increase, but the people that get the per bag are generally the people that can afford it less. So they only go maybe one bag every 2 weeks or so. So this is going to impact them. And I shared this with my bunkies here earlier today. When we raise taxes for 2 years in a row for the community center, in 2 years the total was $66. And we almost got hung. Literally, almost got hung out. And you're asking for pretty much the same amount. And the sad part is there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing we can really do about this. We're kind of backed into a corner.
I just want to tell you, I'm coming before you with the numbers we know that we need to get this, to work this contract, basically for the next likely 5 years. I mean,
right. You
are certainly in a position after the third year is up to not extend the contract to us and see how markets may be going. I mean, things may change in the next 3 years, and you'll be in a position where you could say, we don't want to extend the contract and we want to put it back out to bid.
Look, I don't have any complaints with your work. I know I've gotten on your case a couple of times. I've done a few things, but that's just normal.
So far.
Yeah. I assume after the third year, is there a possibility of negotiating a new number?
No. What'll happen is, in the third year, I think the way this reads is, if you decide to extend it, it keeps that third year rate.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
But if, to his point, if the market changes, if you don't want to renew it for the fourth year, you go out to bid and see what's happening.
Yeah, it's a unilateral extension. It's solely up to you. It's not a bilateral, but I have an opportunity. You know, some of our contracts, the municipality may say we'd like to extend the contract, and then I have an opportunity to say if I would like to extend it or not. In this particular case, we don't. So I need to figure the numbers with it. I mean, the history of the contract has been 5 years. So I need to forecast 5 years out, as I said, within inflation times that we're looking at right now that I can't honestly be sure as to what there would be. And again, you know, I'm coming before you anticipating I would have some other contractors possibly bidding it, and these are numbers that are significantly increased more than what you're used to, and I could very easily turn and lose this contract. The way the contract is working right now for us, cost-wise, if we didn't keep it at the numbers we were charging, it would still have been over. Win for us to lose the contract, to be quite honest with you. So we're losing money on this contract at this point in time today. So
our job isn't for you to lose money on things.
I understand you're frustrated with where it is, and there will be residents that have a challenge with it. as well when you're in a, I mean, ideally I would like to have seen some competitors throw the numbers out so that you could see where their numbers came into play. That's why, you know, I'll just give Lower Swatara went from $20.83 to $33 in, what was that, sometime last fall, 2 years ago, maybe I didn't hear, but Tom lives here, so. Charmanstown Borough and Cumberland County, that went from $16.85 per, I'm giving you a monthly number, I've worked one month, $16.85 to $35.12. And that was just last week that contract went through. South Middleton in Cumberland County from 18 to 37, and Middlesex Township in Cumberland County from 19 to 31. Now, again, in those areas, it's, you can pay disposal at a lesser rate than $100. So even though they're under the $37.95 that you're seeing for this contract, disposal is a big impact. I mean, that's probably 35% of our cost.
So on a monthly basis, Tom, where are we going from
$20 to $37.95 on a monthly basis. But they get quarterly. Everyone gets quarterly.
We all get quarterly dollars.
They'll get quarterly. From 60 to 113 and change. Right, Chris?
113.85. Does Waste Management have, like, customer assistant programs? So when customers who, you know, a lot of utilities, customers that struggle with paying monthly bills can apply to the utility for grants or reduction in rates.
At least the township, it comes to the township, and the township picks that up, and we charge the town. I think there might be a small number of customers, maybe 8 or 10 in the township now, that may apply for that, that I believe the township covers, and we have a separate account for charging the township. I believe that's, I don't know, do you remember something?
I'm not familiar with it. I don't recall what the numbers were.
Yeah. I don't think there's many. I think it's a small number, like 8 out of 6,800 units that we have.
Tom, thanks for letting me
in.
Are
there other questions for Tom or Chris? Just a point of order, too. I think the township also reserves the right, if they would extend for year four, the end of year four, you can still entertain to go out for bids as well. You don't have to extend for year five.
Right. It's not a 1-2 year extension. It's right. 2 1-year extensions.
So even if the market may not look favorable in year four, maybe by the time year five rolls around, it might be more favorable for us to extend, you know, before that window closes.
How do we know what the market waste disposal looks like? I can speak for myself. I'm not an expert in waste disposal, so.
You can check gas prices.
That way, the economy.
Well, what you could do is you could talk to us, and we could give you some recent bid activity. Just as I shared with you some of these recent bids showing how the numbers are going up, I could show you, or Waste Management could show you the numbers of recent bid activity, like in your year three time frame before you go back out to bid.
Yeah. And then, in terms of notification to customers. So, you know, the township can provide notification. Does Waste Management provide notification of their bill inserts or anything?
Typically, the only notifications that we've done are when disposal rates have gone up, and there's usually a sentence at the bottom of the invoice says that, you know, due to the contract specifications, your rates are increasing. If we want to work on something somewhat different and separate from that, I'm sure we could. I mean, that's a big mailing to send out. Yeah. I don't know if it's something that we could get posted on the website to kind of talk through some of the bullet points of the cost to justify it if you would like, but I'm sure we could work on that and get something on your website or your next newsletter.
Yeah, I think anything we can do, sort of working together to craft the message so folks can, you know, have as much visibility into the increase as possible, and of course we'll have to send it in as many mechanisms as we can to get, because we all share the same concern. The first bill people get when the new rate goes into, when this contract kicks in, is going to be something, you know, they've never seen.
It's going, and
you know, here we are on the 22nd of February, and the invoices will be going out the middle of March for an April 1 number. So it's, you know, maybe weeks away before that will start.
But if you do something like the rundown you just gave me.
Yeah, I can get some sort of language together, some bullet points that we could use to mark out somehow.
Yeah, I think we'll make it as simple as possible for folks to understand.
Just another question.
Those people that are on ACH debit, will they just...
I'm sorry.
Those people that are on ACH debit, will they just take the money out quarterly?
Oh.
Will they be notified, or will it just go from 60 to 113?
So they don't even get a paper in there.
Right. Speaking like selfishly, I'm like, all right, they took for $60. The middle.
Well, this is your official notification.
Yeah, exactly. but how do you get notified?
I don't know.
That's a question that I don't know that part of my building side.
Yeah. We had an issue with late pickups, and I think we were going to put it on their email or something like that. You're going to send them emails at the very least.
I'm sorry.
What was that? We had an issue, I guess, over the summer with late pickups.
Right.
And I think we all agreed that you guys would do something on email. You would email your customers.
We would either do emails or a call would go out. Something would happen.
Oh, okay.
but that, I mean, you don't touch everybody.
Right, I know. That's limited, but... I'm just trying to think.
The other quick, Tom. Does Waste Management still send out a card each year when it outlines the yard waste pickup? I mean, has that gone out?
Yeah, it's on hold waiting for tonight. So it's all been approved. It just I haven't run it through the printer yet. So that will be going. Oh, are you saying do we want to put something on that card?
Yes, that's my question.
I mean, we're going to have to, the key will be for both of us to try to communicate the increase to folks as soon as possible.
Probably the middle of September, the rest of the year, just so they're told every time the bills. You know what I'm saying? We're going to tell them once, people are going to forget.
Well, I've got to
start down.
Right, multiple notifications. Well, on our side of the township, we can send notice every week in the email, in the news email, and then post it on our website. So we can, there's no shortage of the amount of times we can notify people. We can continue to do that. But it would be helpful in other information that Waste Management shares with the customers if it's some notice about the increase.
I can talk through some of the issues that are behind the cost increase the way they are.
Okay. Any other questions? We have to take a vote. It's on the agenda. I think we all understand. Tom, thank you for at least fielding the questions. I know it's not easy. We're all concerned about it. We have an obligation to make sure our trash gets picked up. It's going to become a public health issue, so it's not something we can go without.
Right. Understood.
So, all right, we'll move a motion then on the awarding of the contract. I will go ahead and I'm going to make a motion that we approve the bid for the collection and disposal of solid waste, yard waste, and the collection, processing, and sale of recyclable materials to Waste Management. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
I'm abstaining. Business interests.
Any opposed? Nope. This is not abstaining from the vote for business reasons. Objection, then the ayes have it 4-0. So okay. The motion is approved. Thank you.
And I'll just hang for the rest of the meeting. There's not many residents left, but anybody has
Oh, now you did it.
And then also, I guess you have to ask Chris, the next item is, we've already really sort of discussed that as part of the bid.
It's different. It is a different service. All right.
So So the next item then is C, which is the consideration of awarding a bid for the collection and recycling of materials at the Berry Township Recycling Drop-Off Center.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Much like our last agenda item, the current recycling center contract is also set to expire March 31st of this year. This will complete a contract term of 3 years with 2 1-year renewals. As noted previously, under the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code, the township will be required to bid for this service. The board did approve authorizing advertisement of the bid at its regularly scheduled meeting on Tuesday, January 25th. And bids were due this morning, February 22nd at 10 a.m., and were then opened at 10:15. The township received one total bid from Waste Management of Pennsylvania. The two other bidders, Penn Waste and Republic, declined to bid for this contract. The only change in the bid document for this contract was Waste Management's bid for the mixed bulk waste with a pull charge of $355 and a proposed disposal price per ton at $97.64. The current pool charge, as it stands today, is $220.50 with a disposal price of $86.29 per ton. I would like to point out that, again, as Tom mentioned earlier, the disposal costs are reflected, are rates that are reflected from the Harrisburg incinerator, which is that $97.64 charge. So the increase in this particular contract is $134.50 per pull. And of course, the disposal costs are increasing by $11.35. Unless there are questions, it is in a position for you to take action this evening.
All right, any questions for Mr. Christman? All right, hearing none, is there a motion? All right, I'll go ahead and make the motion to award a bid for the collection and recycling of materials at the Derry Township Recycling Drop-Off Center, and we award that bid to Waste Management. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed?
One abstention.
Hearing none, the ayes have it 4-0 with one abstention, and the motion passes unanimously. The next item is item D. It's a request for authorization to execute a letter of support for MH Railroad to seek grant funding from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation for crossing improvements at the Route 322 highway crossing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Middletown-Hummelstown Railroad, MH, is requesting a letter of support from Derry Township for its replacement of the antiquated cantilevers and flashing lights over the Route 322 highway crossing. MNH has been told that funding for this project should be available through PennDOT. During a recent PUC site meeting on January 20th, participants in the meeting expressed support for this project to solicit grant funding. However, the Board of Supervisors should approve any support letters on behalf of Derry Township. That draft letter is attached in the packet this evening as Exhibit A. As noted in the letter, this is only for continued limited use of the crossing, primarily to transport transformers to PPL's Harrisburg substation for track maintenance equipment. If this crossing did not exist, the transformers would need to be taken to residential neighborhoods. Due to weight restrictions on the Fiddler's Elbow Bridge and low clearances under other highway bridges, usage of the Route 322 crossing is limited to 12 rail crossings per year pursuant to a 1985 PUC order. Installation of these warning devices would enhance safety when the Route 322 crossing is used, both for highway travelers as well as railroad employees who flag the crossing when used, and state police who are required to assist with traffic when transformers are transported. It will also ensure that the current antiquated cantilevers do not pose a safety hazard for the traveling motorists. Unless there are questions from the board, there is a draft letter of support for their grant request contained in your packet. Are so inclined to approve that, we'll make sure that gets out tomorrow.
All right, any questions for Mr. Christman? The gentleman from MNH Railroad is here, spoke earlier, so if there are any questions, we can take a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors also authorizes the Township Manager to execute a letter of support for the MNH Railroad to seek grant funding from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation for crossing improvements at the Route 322 highway crossing.
Motion made by Mrs. Dunn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. And motion for the letter of support for One Nature Run Road. The next item is E. It's the consideration of resolution number 2022-08, a resolution authorizing designating and appointing the township manager as a signatory for all township accounts at Fulton Bank.
Mr. Chairman, this is really a housekeeping matter. We have several accounts with Fulton Bank that should be closed, or they contain no funds at this point. The signatories that are listed on the account are actually no longer associated with Derry Township, and in order for us to close that, the Board of Supervisors needs to authorize me to be able to sign the signature card to close the account. So this resolution authorizes that to happen, and we can then move forward with closing those and kind of consolidating the accounts.
Any questions for Mr. Christman?
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve resolution number 2022-8, resolution authorizing designating and appointing the township manager as a signatory for all township accounts at Fulton Bank.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor approving the resolution 2022-08, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is F. It's the consideration of adoption of ordinance 2022-01 to approve the township's non-uniform employee pension plan restatement amendment as proposed by the Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item, I brought before you probably two meetings ago. It was authorized to be advertised for a potential adoption this evening. As the board may recall, the Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System, PMRS, reached out to the township a significant period of time ago with respect to the need for the township to adopt a restatement of the township's non-uniform employee pension plan. So what this ordinance does is it authorizes the township to enter into the PMRS defined benefit adoption agreement 001 for the non-uniform employee pension plan for the township. And it also appropriately amends section 3514 of the code of ordinances referencing the restatement agreement. This has been advertised for adoption this evening. Are there any questions or comments to the board at this time? I want to see if there's any questions or comments from the public, and if you want to consider a motion to approve the ordinance.
All right, I can count the public on one hand, actually. So is there anyone from the public that has any questions on this particular item? Is a motion is needed here to adopt this ordinance? Again, it's fairly perfunctory, and it deals with the non-uniform employee pension plan restatement and amendment as proposed and recommended to us by the Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System. So that's not a lot of advance notice, and you probably don't know as much about this as the rest of us do. So anybody have any comments, questions? All right, seeing none.
This is just cleanup. We're just cleaning this up. It's just a putting things in order.
And PMRS has been trying for a while. We're just getting to agreements adopted. But in my conversations with them, in my review of your existing plan, which is very general, this is not proposed to be changing anything, at least the way it's administered. It's simply to clean up and to be compliant with the required regulations.
And there has been a finding in a number of audits over the last several years that we're not in compliance.
So with that, Mr. Armstrong, given no questions, can we take a motion?
You can, Mr. Chairman.
All right. You can entertain a motion.
I move to adopt ordinance number 2022-01, approving and authorizing the execution of the proposed PMRS defined benefit plan adoption agreement and related documents.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Saluda. Any discussion? Hearing all of those in favor of adopting ordinance number 2022-01, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is G. It's the consideration of a stipulation and joint motion for agreed upon order in the tax assessment appeal of SSN Hershey LLC. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The board recalls last year there were a handful of hotel motels that came before you, and the school district and the county and tax assessment appeals. Due to COVID, a lot of these tourist properties have been appealing tax assessments for the properties. This is very similar. This is for SS Hershey LLC, located at 84 Scythe Avenue, tax map parcel number 24-031-060, also known as the Inn at Chocolate Avenue. This, as you can see, is a proposed stipulation and joint motion for the agreed upon order to resolve the tax assessment appeal of SSN Hershey LLC. And what it does is it proposes it to be resolved in a tiered approach, starting with the year 2020, decreasing the tax assessment to the $1.7 million, and then over the course of the next few years up through 2026, providing for a tiered increase in the assessments for that property. Both the school district and the county have both signed the stipulation and proposed agreed upon order for this proposed settlement on this tax assessment appeal. Are there any questions or concerns for me?
This is consistent with the way we handled the appeals.
Right. Different property, different amounts, but it's the same tiered approach. The one thing that's a little different is the others were a stipulation for the municipality to sign. This is actually a stipulation of joint motion for a agreed upon order. So what you're actually doing is you're authorizing me to sign the motion to be filed with the judge so the judge can order the issue, which I'm fine with as well.
We're the last ones, the two of us. The school board and
the county
already.
It's just the way your meetings fell. I think it came out late January from the property owner, and the school district and the county got on their agendas pretty quick. And this is, yes, you were the last ones. The school district and the county have both signed off.
Other questions for Mr. Armstrong?
Hearing none, is there a motion? I'll make a motion to approve and authorize the township solicitor to execute the stipulation and joint motion for agreed upon order in the tax assessment field of SSN Hershey LLC for the property located at 84 Scythe Avenue, TMP number 24-031-060.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Zavuda. Motion made by Mr. Zavuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving a motion to authorize this township solicitor to execute the attached stipulation and joint motion for the agreed upon order in the tax assessment appeal of SSN Hershey LLC for the property located at 84 Scythe Avenue, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. The last item under new business is the consideration of adoption of ordinance number 2021-08, amending the official zoning maps of the Township of Derry, as adopted in Chapter 225 of our zoning code, of the Derry Township Code of Ordinances, by changing the zoning classification of a portion of the land identified as Dauphin County Tax Parcel number 24-004-013, which totals approximately 42.5 acres located north of Hershey Park Drive, and south of Police Academy Drive, from conservation to planned campus north. Mr.
Thank you. You may recall we had a hearing earlier this evening on this topic, and also one on January 25th. This ordinance has been properly advertised for adoption this evening. The Derry Township Planning Commission, at their meeting of January 4th, 2022, recommended that the proposed rezoning be implemented, and the Dauphin County Planning Commission, at their meeting on January 10th, 2022, took action to support the proposed rezoning. I'm also recommending that ordinance number 2021-08 be adopted as written.
Questions for Mr. Emmer? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that ordinance number 2021-08 is hereby adopted as written.
Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion on this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion is unanimous. Thank you. I'll track the time and space.
We are now at Supervisor Board of Committee Reports. Start with Mr. Zamuda, and we're from left to my right. Mr. Zamuda, Supervisor Board of Committee Reports.
Ms. Nutter, do you want to give me transportation?
You want to do it, or we can do it together?
I think it's your turn.
So. Okay. And then you can pick that down if you can ask.
Okay. So, for once in a while, I have nothing.
So, no report. Thank you, Mr. Zamuda.
Yes.
Noted that you are deferring to Ms. Nutter.
Yes.
Mr. Corrado.
No report.
All right. Mrs. Nutter.
So Supervisor Zamuda and I met this morning with the Transportation Committee, discussed a number of projects, including some public safety improvements along Chocolate Avenue, which we hope to implement very soon. Hopefully we'll be talking about that next meeting on the 8th. And we also talked about some changes that will be happening in relation to the West End project and some road closures. And hopefully we'll have more of an update on that on the 8th as well.
I think the only thing I would add, I think maybe give the public a heads up on the closing of Walthamville.
Yes, I wasn't sure if we were, if we should do that. I think
we can, because it looks like it's pretty much a done deal at this point. So,
Walthamville Road, yes, will be closing.
From 322 to
Wood Road.
Wood Road.
Sometime in March.
And there are discussions of putting a traffic signal at the corner of Wood Road and
Middletown Road.
And this would be for what reason?
Oh, and it would last from the beginning of April to possibly the middle of November.
It's important to point out if a traffic signal is placed, it's a temporary.
It's a temporary.
It would be temporary.
And this is to accommodate the West End development.
The traffic circle.
So, you know, we'll be back at it with the West End folks on March 8th, and we can talk about this at that point, too. We're going to start the day before.
We'll have two shifts.
All right. Well, thank you for that report.
I have no board report, but although most of the public has left, I do want to take a minute just to thank members of the public for showing up and for offering their insight and opinions. It's very important. When we're not sitting back here, we're driving around in town. We're your neighbors. We feel the same way you do about a lot of these things. And unfortunately, it takes a road closure for 9 months for people to show up and say what's going on. Tonight, we got a little taste of what could happen when people are aware of things before they even come to us. And I think it's important that we hear from the public. And I know how difficult it is. It takes a lot of courage to get up there and talk in front of the board and in front of everyone else. But I do think it's very important that the public be involved. Today, what we saw for the last 3.5 hours is really just a taste of what's going on in the township. And so by being here and by being involved, it informs our decisions and the public is informed of what's going on as well. So we'd just like to thank everyone, regulars and new folks, who showed up tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I back up a second here?
Yes.
There was one thing I forgot to ask. I think we both forgot to ask this. During a transportation meeting this morning, and I know the board is aware of the Greater Hershey Transportation Study that's been done, and that Ms. Nutt and I and Chuck had gone over. And I am also aware that we've sent you guys copies of this. I think what we're asking is, were there any issues with this? HRG wants to know that we have, from the board, no issues with what's been done so far.
I have to be honest with you, I don't remember getting what materials they are, but I will go through them if you think
it's good sleeping material.
I second that. So let us answer that question between now and the next meeting when we go back and double check unless you need it.
We actually do kind of need something relative. So we have, there's new grants that are being available that are going to be closing just after the first meeting.
These guys got it. It was a while ago, though.
it was...
I can send it again if you like.
Could you send it again? I'll be happy to look at it this weekend and then give you a response back. I just don't recall yet. I'm sure.
We just need to know that to move forward with this. It is very time sensitive, as we've been told many times this morning.
Okay.
And then Mr. Emmerich also has an ask. So I'll let him take care of that. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I will. I have been a border committee reporter from the last meeting, so that's easy. Departmental reports, Chief Warner, Police Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was not going to have anything, but the mention of road closure kind of jogged my memory, and just wanted to remind everybody that Route 39 Hershey Road is going to be closed starting Monday through March 4th, so they can clear debris from out from underneath that bridge. So there'll be a crane parked right on that bridge, and the road will be closed for that amount of time.
Thank you, Chief. Sassman, Fire Department.
I have nothing for this evening. Thank
you. Before you leave tonight, I just want to catch up to you real quick for 1 second before you leave the meeting.
You got it.
And sometimes I can't get out of here fast enough to get
through. I'll come
find you. I'll come find
you. Thank you.
Mr. Clark, down.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Right. Mr. Altman, Library.
We have a busy Saturday planned at the library. Neil Hartley will be portraying P.T. Barnum at 2 p.m. And then we also have Mystery Craft pickup at 10 a.m. There's one for kids and one for adults.
Treat. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jackson, Parks and Rec.
I just want to give one final sales pitch for the Community Center Annual Membership Special, which is ending on Monday, the 28th. So that's the last chance to receive 15 months for the price of an annual membership. So after that expires on Monday, then we'll open up all the remaining membership options at that time.
I feel like you're directing that directly at me because you know I did not buy it yet.
Am I looking
at this? No. This weekend it will be done. I'm going to review this mystery email that Rick and Natalie sent, and I'm also going to join. Thank you for my. I knew that I was doing it this month, but I want you to know.
It wasn't directed at you.
I'm a proud member very shortly, and I think it looks great. And I know people have been through to see the update, and all I hear is really positive things. We have to start thinking about sort of pre-opening day, for people that were sponsors and donors, making sure we do like an open house where they can kind of come through.
Correct.
And then one that's perhaps generally open to the public before we actually open. I know it's a lot, and I'm hoping Becky Swiger can help you plan that, and Chris, all of us can support it, but I think it's important for the community to see how it is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that constantly from people when they get an opportunity to see it. It's only on a limited basis. You can't send everybody through at this point.
Correct. Well, yeah, once it's through active construction and we have that that time before substantial completion and we open, we'll definitely, we have that on our radar to do some community tours and soft opening type events.
Yeah, and that's great, Zach. Thank you. And I know you're working hard to keep that on budget and on time. It's a big deal. I think we're going to get to the opening when it wasn't what we planned. And I think it looks like you're going to be on budget. And honestly, Zach, on a $32 million public facility, that's a huge accomplishment. And I don't think, people don't realize, you take a lot of peppering from all of us all the time on that. But because we're so cost conscious on it, you've done a great job of marshaling it through. And I'm not jinxing. I won't jinx like snow and stuff like that. I'm not going to jinx us here. But so far, so good. You're 80% through the project. So great job.
Appreciate that.
Finance, Cheryl. Cheryl's not here, right? We're not doing a finance report. I just skipped over her anyway, Parks and Rec. Not that I'm hiring you to top Parks and Rec.
Zach reminds me of myself, the old baseball coach trying to get everyone signed up. Your parents say, a few more days, the last one tonight signed up, so we're good to go. But for Derry Township engineering stuff, nothing that works.
Okay, very good. Jeff, community development.
I think what Rick was alluding to is the board's aware that we've been trying to put a flashing pedestrian signal at Valley and Chocolate Avenue. That is permitted. It's ready to go. We have bids in. That'll be presented to you at your meeting on the 8th for approval, for moving forward. We also have the 743 pedestrian crossing for the trail. That one's being paid for out of grant money that we have. That one will not go, will not start until the spring of 2023, which is why we've moved the valley and Chocolate Avenue ahead, because we didn't want to wait that long. And finally, we're also working on putting a crossing at Cocoa and Brook to accommodate the new community center and the school, and to just provide a safer way to get across Cocoa.
Yeah, I think there's some ladies here in the audience tonight, Chuck, that were appreciative of these upgrades to Hackensack. You know, we heard from folks, including them, over a year ago, so I'm glad that we're finally getting this stuff done. It's not, I know that has nothing to do with you, but in terms of the delay, but these things are desperately needed, and it'll be a welcome addition once they're installed, so thank you.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that'll work. Okay, it's good enough. Mr. Crispin.
I have no report.
Okay. Last second session of visitor public comment. I have a motion to come forward and do so at this time.
Just want to pick up on the issue with the development on 322 at Fishburne Road. Sitting here listening to the men that presented, it's like listening to inside traders. When you asked about what type apartments you're going to build, single studio, I noticed they didn't say they were targeting medical students due to the shortage of resident housing for residents and students. So, secondly, putting a gas station on one of our main roads going through the town, and directly across the street, we'll have Sunoco. Now, are we worried about, we have a commission that's studying the air quality in our community. Have you ever sat outside of Sheets when they're filling up? And they have more than four pumps, by the way, down there. Just from that area alone, you drive down and call it Gas Station Alley. You got the Sunoco, you're going to have the Sheets, you're going to have the Turkey Hill. After that, you have, I forget what it is now, SO or whatever it is, then you can have it further back in the Sheets. I mean, in community development, I would think that we want to plan it so that we're not putting one type of service in one location. Everybody, plus not to mention we have the Martinsville gas station at 422. So there's a lot of gas stations within the area. What impact will that have on the air quality? Are they planning on selling diesel? I don't know if you've ever been to a truck stop where they let the diesel run. If you have asthma, like myself, you get out of there. Number of pumps. Everybody else that's built a gas station, a service center, we're limited to four pumps. This design looks like they're going to have, like they have at the Hummelstown. It's more like 16. Is that what we want in our community? Not to mention the roads. People that lived on Fishburne Road, you know, you take a look at the one house, how they cut back through there. I don't think there's anything that you can do to improve the value of that house after that's built. Who wants to live behind something like that? But again, the main thing of two service stations side by side across from each other, less than 50 yards apart from pump to pump, what's that going to do to air quality? Not to mention the increased risk traffic accident, because that is a very busy intersection as it is right now, even with the right-hand turn lane. You know, that intersection basically serves as a medical center. They come out, get on Cherry, come out, they get on Fishburne. You know, that's basically what that's all about. So to add that much more into that location, I think we could do better than having a gas station along 322. Travel 322 is a scenic route until you get to gas station alley. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Gamble. And as you can tell, that's one of the reasons we have them in for these sketch plans, because nothing has been filed yet. They'll have to go through the process, and we'll have an opportunity to address some of the points you just made at that time. But, yeah, development in this community is very difficult at this point. The zoning has changed in a way that has put us a little bit on the defensive.
One other thing I'd like to share. We'll help back on professional healthcare. They mentioned about the dialysis center. Well, years ago, when we still had the old Hess Ford building on Chocolate, I attempted to open a dialysis center knowing we were a tourist attraction. And it has to go before the Kidney Foundation. And they refused to approve it. They said they had too many available within the area. So are they just saying that's what they want to do? Do they have the approval by the Kidney Foundation? I mean, Hershey Medical Center has their own dialysis center.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for them, but they have represented that I think they have a contract with the Hershey Med Center.
So it's an extension to Hershey Medical Center?
I believe so. That's what has been represented.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if they were going to go into competition. Okay, so I got to say, and in child care, you know, Milton Hershey just put in that big one. Now we're going to get a second one. I mean, it's like when we start building pharmacies around that intersection. We have four major pharmacies all within walking distance.
Well, that's the issue with zoning is you can't zone so narrow that it's too restrictive and unconstitutional. So you have to, the zoning tends to be sort of, you know, broad enough to fit a certain kind of project. And that can be very difficult because we can't spot zone, right? We can't just zone a particular corner. And that is a big challenge.
Well, like I said, the other aspect of it, as far as the quality of air, mm-hmm. the high risk, greater accidents, greater risk of explosion, you know, we see that all the time, cars running the gas pumps. You know.
Well, that'll come for us when the
I'm just thinking the safety and the access for the community to live here 7 days a week and have to fight this. Like I said, I was late here because I went to drive before I came. I had to sit through three light changes before I could cross 322. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chuck, just to follow up on that before you had asked at the last meeting, you know, I hope that you and Pat are still taking a look at the master plan and an opportunity in the near term to sort of present us with some proposed revisions that we can consider making to that. I think that was sort of the undercurrent of the very first hearing, and it's, you know, it's just going to keep carrying on here. So, all right, with that, unless there's no other public comment, we will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. All
right, motion made by Mr. Zuda. Is there a second? Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Motion adjourned.